Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, connecting the light. Before I introduce my guest today, who is Ali Thies, let me say that due to circumstances beyond our control, Ali can only be with me for the first half of the program. So what I intend to do is to fill the second half up to talk about a very topical matter which is going around the internet at the moment, and that is about a UFO sighting that is due to take place on the 14th of October for three whole days. So maybe it's not such a coincidence that I'm having to introduce that into the program. Perhaps somebody upstairs wants me to talk about it. But anyway, that will come a bit later. So welcome to the program, Ali.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I can hear you well. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
That's great. Okay. Well, I'm glad you could come on, at least for this spell. It was a bit unfortunate the way it worked out, but I think a half an hour is better than nothing in this case. Now, you seem to be a very versatile person. I read your website information, and you're comfortable talking or writing about various subjects, including spirit guides, guardian angels, numerology, stones, crystals, energy healing. You're a columnist of a column called Ask Ali, and you offer spiritual wellness through psychic readings, sexual advice, out-of-the-body experience tips, and you run empowerment classes and coaching. And in your spare time, if you had any, you're the author of Gypsy Magic for the Soul.
Now, correct.
That's a great array of different subjects. Tell us first, how did you get into all of this?
Well, I'm a descendant of the Rom Gypsies of Transylvania. My family came to the States in the late 1800s, and luckily, although they came to the States, the Gypsy way was still passed down from generation to generation. My family, though, as time went on, tried to push the Gypsy heritage to the back, trying to blend in with everybody else. Luckily, my one grandmother was very bullheaded and taught me the Gypsy way behind my parents' back. And bless her heart, even though she told me not to write anything down, because as a whole, the Gypsy society is an oral society, I still wrote stuff down anyways, me being the bullheaded person I am. And as time went on, I kept embracing the Gypsy methods more and more into my lifestyle. And when I became an adult, I was able to break away from not having to push it to the back of the closet so I could make up my own mind. And I've been going that way ever since.
Right. So when did all this become serious for you, that you actually sort of started to make it work for you?
When I was a freshman in college, it was 1985, and I got out my notebook for my grandmother's notes, and I started going over different herbal remedies, different magical spells that she taught me. And it was funny because my roommate at the time, Shelley, her and I were best friends since first grade. And when I did my first tarot card reading back when I was 10 or 11, she was actually one of the participants in the reading. And we were going over on how the things I predicted back then at 10 and 11 actually came true to the person I was doing the reading for.
Mm-hmm.
And between that reading and going over my notebook in my KSU dorm, that's when things started really rolling for me.
Yeah. So is it all sort of a full-time occupation now?
Yes, I do the readings and all the writing and the coaching. It's all full-time. I'm blessed that I'm able to work at home. I'm a single mom, so I get to work at home with my son. And I'm leading a blessed life. I'm very grateful.
I bet you are, yes. And I think for anybody to manage to write a book in between everything else you're doing is quite an achievement. And, of course, the one I mentioned isn't your only book, is it?
No, I actually have four Gypsy Magic for the Soul books. They're divided into four categories. There's one on love, another one on prosperity, one on family, and the last one's on dreams.
Yes. you would like to encourage people to drink. Is that the idea?
Well, not drink very much. No. It's for dreams. For dreams and astral travel, and connecting guides and angels. But if you want to drink while you're doing it, by all means, go right ahead. Just be careful how you word the magic then. So.
Oh yes, indeed. Yes. Now, you talk about spiritual wellness through psychic readings. Now, I should think everyone listening is familiar with psychic readings, but what type of reading enables you to talk to people about spiritual wellness?
Which type of the readings I do, or I try to incorporate spiritual wellness in all my readings, no matter what type of reading the client picks.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're trying to figure out about their love life or about money. I try to open up their spiritual center, because a lot of people, it's closed down, and that's why they can't listen to their intuition, to their own psychic self, and they come to somebody like me.
Yeah.
For advice.
Carry on.
So I give them advice, and I try to teach them how to open up that spiritual center of theirs, so they can listen to themselves and don't have to come see somebody like me unless they want a second opinion.
Goodness me, you'll be out of business soon.
Well, I love to have people do things on their own instead of trying to depend on somebody else to do it for them.
Yes, a very nice approach. And I guess you're taking the same approach in your empowerment classes. Is that based on the same idea, the spiritual wellness?
Yes, the spiritual wellness. There's a whole bunch of different categories that I try to teach online. It can go anywhere from writing and casting your own spells to astral travel to talking to guides and angels. And so everything I incorporate some sort of spiritual wellness into it.
Yeah.
And speaking of spiritual wellness, sorry that my voice is going, which is why people might have a hard time understanding me.
You said you had a slight croak. Well, of course, I don't want to stop you from talking, because you haven't got that long anyway, but you can have a breather in between. Now, you mentioned astral travel. How does that fit in? I mean, are you telling people what to expect and how to do it? Well, what is the idea behind that?
Well, with astral travel, in case no one has ever done it, who's listening, it's when your energy or astral body leaves your physical body and you're able to travel through all the dimensions, all the different universes, time travel. And what's nice about that is that you're free to go anywhere.
Mm.
And when I teach about astral travel, I tell people how to do it, what to expect, the pitfalls that might happen, because, you know, everything has pitfalls no matter what you try to do. And try to how to steer around it. The biggest misconception about astral travel that I found thus far is when the astral or energy body separates from the physical body, people automatically expect to see like a big white light, some sort of brightness. And when you first separate, the world around you is the exact copy of the world you just came from, basically, the physical world. So if it's raining and storming outside, when you get into the astral world, it's raining and storming until you ascend to a higher level, until you go to a different area. And a lot of times that scares people.
Mm.
You know, they astral travel out, and then they're in the darkness, and they think, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
So
I would guess that there are risks in astral travel in as much that people who induce that condition, perhaps by taking drugs, sometimes have very bad experiences. How can you release that fear in people that something might go wrong and they get a horrible experience?
Well, I try to encourage them first not to take the drugs. if that's not possible, I like to give people what I call backup plans. Or if A happens, and here, do C to counteract it, and vice versa. And I like to give people preemptive measures before they astral travel, or if they're trying to travel the dreamscape in their dreams, different precautions you can take beforehand, like setting up a fountain in your bedroom or wherever it is you're going to actually travel for protection, or putting salt around you, different things you can do beforehand. There are in-world and out-of-world precautions you can take.
Right.
So I always believe better safe than sorry. So.
Fine, yes. I just wondered about that, because if one has an interest in these subjects, you invariably read at times about astral travels, and you know fully well that they're not all necessarily pleasant. Now, I'm sure people must be dying to ask you what sort of sexual advice you give. That's the first time I've ever seen that advertised as a service.
Yeah, well, that's me. I tend to go outside the box, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm giving advice on sexual advice, I read people's sexual energy, and I tell them where they can improve their sexual energy in order to have more energy for sex, whether it's for themselves personally or with a partner. I also give personalized advice on if they want to try telepathic dream or astral sex. I can tell them how to do that. Personalized just for them. I can incorporate their fantasies for her partners to do with each other. Different toys, oils, whatever type of things that if people want to spice up their sex life or revive a dead sex life.
This is the sort of complete service that you cover here with so many aspects. Is that part of your book? Gypsy Magic for the Love of Soul, or is that a different type of story, shall we say?
Well, I did put some about sex in actually the Dreamer's book, the last one I wrote, because it dealt with out-of-body sex. I'm currently writing a book on out-of-body sex, on teaching people how to do the three different types and how to experiment with themselves and with their lovers. Yeah, that's what I've been working on, and it would have been done by now, but I keep adding things.
It never comes to finish.
Yeah.
The only thing that comes to mind when you talk about that is I can remember when I used to run meetings years ago, a lady came to the meeting, and she said that her husband was a long-distance lorry driver, so he was away from home for days at the time, and she was in bed at night. Someone get into bed with her, and when she had a look, it was her husband out of the body. I was most amused by that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So she didn't say whether he was awake and sort of put his arm around her or anything like that. But I've never.
He
obviously missed her company, and I suppose he was thinking about her, and whether he, out of the body, realized what was happening, I don't know, but there are some strange things that happen. Can you tell us a bit more about that book I mentioned, The Gypsy Magic for the Love of Soul?
Well, it's a book about different formulas for oils, incense, sachets, and spells on how to attract lovers, or if you want someone to go away, how to make a lover go away that you are no longer interested in. There is one spell, and a lot of people have asked me about binding a lover to you. And it's something I try to discourage, because once you bind somebody to you, it's pretty well set for, eternity, unless you reverse it in another lifetime.
Yeah.
But I added that in the book because I get so many requests for it, but I put a warning, of course, for people to make sure they know what they're doing before they do it.
Certainly a book with a difference. I don't know what I think about magic in that way, but you obviously will say it's been tried and tested, and you wouldn't teach it unless there was evidence that it actually worked for some people.
Correct. The different spells and stuff I put in all the books either came directly from my grandmother, or word for word, or I've used the spells as a base, and when I used to write personalized spells for people, I used that as a base and put transformed it so it would work for other people. And when I know a spell worked, that's how I put it in the book. If something, you know, if I tried something a few times and it didn't seem to work for people, there was a word off or maybe an herb, then it never made it in. So.
Yes. So does garlic crop up in your remedies?
Garlic?
Yes.
Oh, garlic's great.
I'm thinking of what they sometimes tell you in films. I'm sure I remember this correctly, that you can keep these evil apparitions away by putting garlic in front of them. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Garlic is a great protective herb. It can be used, of course, for, you know, dream protection, astral protection, if you want to either wear it or put it around your bed or your chair or something. But a lot of people don't like the smell, but garlic is fantastic if you like garlic.
Yeah.
And if you want to protect your home and you don't actually like the taste or smell of garlic, you can plant garlic cloves around your home.
Yeah.
And that way the garlic still protects your home, but you don't have to smell it.
Very interesting subject. I think all you have to do is eat one and you keep everybody away.
That's true.
I can't actually eat garlic or oniony things because they have a very upsetting effect on my stomach. But I must say, I do love onions as part of an ingredient in cooking. I mean, it's a terrific flavor with it. But garlic, I'm afraid, is a bit too powerful for me. Now, let me move on here, Ali. You mentioned spirit guides and guardian angels. Now, as part of your psychic readings, do you work with them to give the readings?
A lot of times I work with my guides. One in particular, Iris, always seems to come through, and she's kind of like the dynamo guide is what I call her, because she just seems to be very forthright and what do I want to say, upfront about her advice. And she's one I work with the most. And every once in a while, one of the client's guides will come through and want me to give them advice from them. And if that's the case, then I do that as well. But I try to communicate with the divine and all the guides as much as I can. They know more than I do. So the hard part is, though, is when you get advice from guides or from angels, not throwing your own personal experiences in there and kind of shifting the advice based on what you've been through. So that takes practice.
Yeah. Interesting. And what about stones and crystals? What are you doing, telling people the properties of the stones and crystals and maybe which particular ones would be good for them?
I do that during a reading if my guides tell me to. On the website, I have a place under Gypsy Magic link that takes people to, you can go to learning about crystals and stones or herbs or essential oils. And you can pick and choose which you would like to use. But if it comes through in a reading that a person should be using a certain crystal or an herb or something, I always tell them. And myself, I have more crystals and stones than probably any one person should own, but I can't help myself.
What's your favorite one?
That's a tough one. Probably my Faden crystal, Faden crystal, because it's fantastic for astral travel and for telepathic communications. It's just an outstanding crystal. That and my Moldavite, which is great. The Moldavite, I think you mentioned you're going to talk about UFOs in the second half. Moldavite is great for talking to extraterrestrials.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. And
can't remember seeing that one. What is it, a single color or is it multicolored?
Moldavites are usually green.
Green.
And they're kind of expensive, but it's well worth it. It's a very powerful stone, and until your body gets used to the stone, if you have one, it's recommended that you don't use it too often. And definitely don't sleep with it in your bedroom unless you want to be awake. because
but what you do, just carry it in your hand when you want to heighten the opportunity for a contact.
You can carry it in your hand or put it in your pocket. When you want to have a stone give you its energy or help uplift you in some manner, you always want to hold it in your receptive hand. Now, your receptive hand is the hand you do not write with.
Right, yeah.
And that hand absorbs the stone's energies and puts it into your energy field.
If you were thinking of trying to meditate regularly to try and make a contact, what you would do is put this crystal in the hand that you've mentioned to increase your chances of making a contact with them. Is that the idea?
That's correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a moldavite is a very interesting stone, and anyone who likes to try to communicate with people from other planets and it's just an awesome stone. So I highly recommend it.
Right. I'm not familiar with that particular name. Would you like to spell it out in case other people are listening and also not quite sure how you spell it?
Sure, it's MOLAVITE.
Right, I didn't quite catch the last bit after the A. MOLA.
V as in Victor.
V.
I.
Yeah.
T-E.
Yeah. T-E.
Correct.
I've got it. It writes as it sounds, doesn't it, Molavite?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, fine. I do a write-up for the archives after the program, so obviously what I'm going to do, in case people want to follow this up and contact you, is to put in your website. But for people who might not necessarily be able to do that, would you like to tell them now the address of your website?
Sure. It is www.gypsyadvice.com.
Okay. Would you accept emails if people wanted to write you?
Oh, most certainly. The easiest way to get a hold of me, I have several emails, but the easiest one is allie@gypsyadvice.com.
Okay, right. So the other email address I see on your email here that's askallie@gypsyadvice.net is a different one, yes?
Yeah, they both still come to me, but allie@gypsyadvice.com is just shorter, which is why I give that one out.
Okay, that's all right. No, I just wondered in case someone else might sort of visit your site and see the other one and perhaps think there's an error there. No, that's all right, that's fine. I'll put that one in my write-up for you. I'm asking you that now because 25 minutes, 30 minutes seems to go very rapidly when you're talking. Now, tell us a little bit about your column that you write. Is that still going now?
The Ask Ally column, I've been writing it since 2001, and yes, it's still going. It's syndicated on probably over 50 sites by now. I've lost track, along with, of course, my site, Gypsy Advice, and it's the column and then the podcast, also called Ask Ally, is a great way for people to send in questions and get free readings.
Yeah. So. Okay, now did I hear you right here? Oh, I understand you correctly. You haven't got Ask Ally on your own website, but it's on lots of other people's.
No, I have it on mine too.
Oh, you do? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Are you inviting people to email you with questions on any subject or the ones that you're particularly interested in?
Oh, no. If somebody has an interest, please email me. And if they would like a free reading, I'll put it in the hopper for either the column or the podcast.
Oh, right. Okay. So you don't necessarily answer every email. You pick out ones where you feel the answers maybe would interest a lot of people. Is that the idea?
Well, I randomly pick them. I basically close my eyes and and go. I probably get 20 to 30 emails a day.
Do you?
For questions for both the column and the podcast. So, to be fair for everyone, it's just a grab bag. I just reach in and grab
good.
One.
Well, as I said at the start, when I introduced you, you must be working on all these things full time, because it seems you've got so many things going here.
And I wonder why I don't have a social life.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Is Ali's column, or Ask Ali, is that in your monthly newsletter?
No, that the Numeroscope is a monthly numerology letter.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah.
That's something separate.
Right. So evidently, people can subscribe to that through your website. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Look, Ali, I think we've covered the main parts of your activities quite well in the short time we've had. So I'm going to thank you for coming onto the program. Now, is there any final word that you would like to say to our listeners? Any comment, or do you think we've covered everything quite adequately?
Well, I think we've covered everything, but I want to thank you again, Mike, for having me.
Yes.
I greatly appreciate being on your program. And what I want everyone to know is we're all capable of listening to our own psychic self. It just takes practice.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always like to hear advice from people who are working at these particular levels. Thank you very much. Very nice to have you.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, we'll let you go now, and don't rush too fast. Thanks a
I'll
lot.
Try
Goodbye.
Those. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. All right. So, hello, everyone. As I said at the start of the program, there is a particular message that seems to be getting a lot of attention on the internet. Some of you listening would have undoubtedly, I expect, come across it. And it's a message that came out on August the 1st this year through a lady called Blossom Goodchild. And she has it up as a message from the Federation of Light, although I notice in some messages it's actually given as the Galactic Federation of Light. Now, what it is that she has contact with with beings, or cosmic beings, known as the Federation of Light. And in her most recent encounters with them, that is August the 1st, they announced that one of their craft will appear, as they say, in our skies, which presumably means in the US, on October the 14th this year, for a period in 3 days, in such a way as to prove that the existence of other life forms in the universe. Now, it doesn't actually say whether there will be any activity connected with the craft beyond the fact that it's going to be there, presumably stationary, for that period of time, and it will be there for everybody to see, to talk about, the photograph, and whatever else. She says that the Federation of Light stress that they come in love to help us and our planet to move to a new higher vibration of love. And they ask Blossom to get this message out to as many people as possible. Now, I'm going to read through it. It's not over long, just in case you don't get to see it in black and white, or you don't get to see it on YouTube. At the end of this second half, I'll give you the YouTube address, but I will put it in my archive, and what I'll probably do is confirm it to you when I announce my next guest, because it's these ones are not quite so easy to write down as a straightforward website address. But anyway, that will interest you to know that you can probably pick it up on Blossom Goodchild's site and read it, or you can actually hear her giving the message on YouTube. Either way, you'll get to read it again or actually hear it. Now, the message was addressed to the leaders, governors, politicians, and all people of Earth. And it went on to talk about the 14th day of October, saying, and this is a point to bear in mind, a craft of great size shall be visible within your skies. It shall be in the south of your hemisphere, and it shall scan over many of your states. And they say, we give to you the name of Alabama. Now, there's been a bit of discussion about that since, and there isn't really a strong opinion as to whether that actually means Alabama as such. They're wondering if it has some other significance. So if you live in Alabama, don't necessarily feel that it is automatically going to be over that area. I know a little bit about this matter because quite a few people have emailed me about it, so I've been directed to the site and I've read quite a bit of Blossom's work. And for me, she comes over very strongly as a very genuine person. I get a good feel from reading her messages, and the fact that her message is claimed to come from the Galactic Federation, for me, gives it a lot of credibility because people are writing me and saying, what do you think? So I think there's certainly an intent there to carry out this particular sighting. And I would have thought that before the 14th of October, because obviously that's a few weeks away yet, that we might well see something about that in Matthew's messages and almost certainly Sheldon Nidles, who I suspect most of you have heard of. He has been a guest on my show more than once, because I see Sheldon Nidles as the prime representative of the Galactic Federation, and I would be very, very surprised if something of this nature was due to happen without him being told, and perhaps in that event being able to confirm it. Who knows, before this event comes about, we may have heard a lot more about the significance of it. But I did write to someone and say that I thought at the very least what it would do, it would break the cover-up about UFOs once and for all. And of course it would be interesting to see how the different governments of the world and the media react, because we all know hitherto there has been a UFO cover-up. But this will present them with a problem, because how can they avoid telling you the truth about it? We will see anyway. It'll certainly be very interesting if it does come to be. Now, I heard from somebody else today, which is something not everybody will necessarily know or have heard of, that there is another person who independently received confirmation about this 14th of October UFO sighting. And she is a lady called Heidi Stadler. And she received this message, apparently, from Ashtar Sharan. And we have no reason to doubt her. I've looked on her website, and it's a very good one. And again, like with Blossom Goodchild, I get a very good feel about the energy coming from it. So maybe this is indeed what you would expect. Perhaps one or two sources, perhaps even including my own, being able to confirm the validity of this intended sighting. I think there's always a note of caution, because some of these predictions, for some reason or another, don't always materialise. I mean, there's always that possibility. But let's hope this one does go ahead. Now, again, what I will do on my archived write-up of this programme, I'll put the website addresses in of both of these people. That's Blossom Goodchild and Heidi Stadler. Now, her work comes through a website that covers the, and this is actually the name of the website, Telos Connection. You probably know that that is a reference to the Inner Earth people. And Larry Frank, who set that up, wrote me an email. And again, he wondered, like other people, what I thought about it. But he did confirm that some time ago, the Inner Earth people actually said or told him that the first contact would be made by the extraterrestrials. There was a time, apparently, when the Inner Earth people were considering being the first ones to come up and show themselves. But apparently they've come to the conclusion that it would be better to do it this way. Anyway, so having added all that at this stage, I'd better hurry on and read the rest of the message to you, but I thought I'd give you the background to what has happened here. So, here we have 14th of October, for 3 days, a craft of great size. And they said it will remain for a minimum of three of your 24-hour periods. Now, they said, during this time, there will be much commotion upon your earth plane. Your highest authorities will be intruding into our atmospherics that surround our ship. This security field is necessary for us, as there shall take place a farce from those in your world who will try to deny that we come in love. My observation there is that perhaps the powers that be that still want to try and exercise this UFO cover-up will probably say that it's some threatening UFO, and they'll try and dispense with any idea that they are beings that come in love and in peace that way. But I don't think they'll get away with that. Right, the message says, none of this. We come to assist your world. We do not come to take over. We do not come to destruct. We come to give you hope. We are beings from other planets who for many eons of time have been preparing for these days ahead. We ask each soul that reads of these words to accept in their heart the truth that lies within. For in that place there is the knowing that this is to take place. There shall be many who deny. There shall be many who dismiss. There shall be those who know of this truth. Whichever you may be, let this be understood, it shall take place. We give you the opportunity to capture on screen this particular ship. There shall be no contact in the form that those of your planet would like. For this initial presentation, we shall simply be presenting our ship to you. We say to you, that shall certainly be enough to comprehend initially. All kinds of methods shall be carried out in order to try and penetrate through our security barrier, but they shall be to no avail. I would comment there that apparently they can cloak their ship in some kind of energy, and as they said, it cannot be penetrated, and even if weapons were used against them, they would have no effect. So they go on to say, until we can prove to you that we come in love, we will not allow the fullness of our visits to be uncovered. Know of this, this is the beginning, not the end. Your governments and your media will try to disguise us. This will fail. All avenues have been covered by us. Your media will have no choice but to portray the truth, for it shall be there for all to see. Friends of Earth, do not be afraid. We beseech you to trust that we come to bring the downfall of those who have misintentions for the well-being of your planet. If we do not intervene now, as has been planned for eons of your Earth time, then we fear it would be too late. We ask you to accept us in love, for that is why we come. The sayings that your world have been aware of via your movie screens, etc., were not merely make-believe. We have been planting and watering seeds of truth on your planet in preparation for these days, for indeed we come in peace. Fill your souls with trust in that knowledge. We are your brothers and sisters from other places. Our technology is far advanced. There are those in high places of ruling that know full well of this. Therefore they know that there would be little point trying to pretend that they need weapons to destroy us. From this day that we appear, we ask you to listen only to your hearts and not to the words of those who shall be in great danger and fear of losing their power. For too long your world has lived under a cloud that most of you have been unaware of. If you were to know the truths of what has been hidden from you, you would be appalled and in great disbelief. It is time for your souls to be allowed to be who they are. The veil is to be removed. Be of joy. It is a time that you shall know of this as your heart accepts the true reason for our visit, to bring you an understanding of love. Know this. We choose to leave it at that. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes to the skies. Keep love in your heart. That isn't quite the end. They go to say, we, the Federation of Light, sign off, giving you encouragement and hope as we begin the ascension into the new world. Each one of you has chosen to be here for this ascension. Choose now whether your heart form will accept it through love or reject it through fear. May the highest aspect of your soul fill you with light as you move bravely forward. Gratitude to each one as they assist us in the cause. Now, Blossom obviously must have had queries about this business of Alabama, so she put a note on here. It's only a short one, so I'll read it out because it helps to clarify her own thoughts. She said, "I'm aware that Alabama is not in the Southern Hemisphere. I queried this to the Federation and was told, in days of old, it used to be." And she said, "If anyone could find information on this, I would be most grateful if you could contact me via my website." The website, incidentally, is quite an easy one to follow and write down because it's her name, basically. It's www.blossomgoodchild.com. So that's www.blossomgoodchild.com. She is, incidentally, I may mention at this point, a professional direct voice channeling medium working with spirit and cosmic energies, and she has been channeling the Native American Indian spirit energy, White Cloud, for 7 years. And she shares his messages of unconditional love by means of personal readings and group meetings. And she mentions that those meetings have been recorded and White Cloud's words transcribed and subsequently published in 3 books, Walking in the Light and Love, The Spirit of White Cloud, and the latest book, A New Dawn. Now, just to complete her footnote, she said, "It has been suggested that Alabama may be the name of the craft." And she says, "On researching it, it appears that Alabama has a NASA space center." Anyway, she thanked people for taking the time to read this and pass it on. And she mentions it required great courage to send that message out. And she said, "I hope this allows you the courage within yourselves to continue on your personal search for your truth. And as soon as you find it, may it fill you with much love, light, laughter, and golden rays." A thought occurred to me about saying that Alabama is not in the Southern Hemisphere, but then being told that in the days of old it used to be. Because we've had magnetic flips on the Earth at various times, so the compass direction in which places are now is not necessarily the same as it was, say, way back before we experienced a magnetic flip. So that's not perhaps as odd as it sounds to make that suggestion. Now, she said everything, really, or her contact has said everything in that message that I could easily attribute to, say, one of Sheldon Neidel's messages. It speaks in the same type of language with the same spiritual essence, and I must say it comes over very well. So, I mean, what is the alternative? It can only be that someone is using Blossom Goodchild and that the message is to give you lots of hope and then dash it to pieces when the sighting doesn't occur. In other words, sort of disinformation. But for someone, I would think of Blossom's standing, it would be very difficult to see how she could be fooled into receiving a message from someone that wasn't genuine. Because when you reach a certain level and you protect yourself before you make a contact with these entities, and you have protection from the other side, it would be very difficult for someone to sort of muscle in and give you a false message. And believe me, although, I mean, that clearly sounds like a genuine one, the dark forces can be very deceiving in the way in which they can con you. Now, I think the interesting part is that at least we have one other source that has confirmed that particular UFO sighting, so I think that's going in the right direction. And I'm sure, like you, I will look with interest when Matthew's next message comes out, and also next Tuesday when we get Sheldon Neidel's. I would suspect now this has been released publicly that there would be some reaction. Now, just to finish up the program, I'll mention something else as a little add-on. I had an email today from Mark Huber. Well, it was relayed to me by Horst Hector, but it was an interesting message in as much that it's talking about the Democratic Convention, which is on August Thursday, August 25th to the 28th. A little bit of information about that is apparently where it's being held, it holds 75,000 people, and there will be 440 delegates and many others of a lesser status. What the message basically says, and it is contacting people in spirit, there's one spirit who is known as Mother, and evidently what she said is that action started the day before this message went out, which originally I believe was the 21st of August, and that approximately 10,000 arrests were made over like the previous 36 hours, and it suggested that those arrested may be in custody on the ships for their own protection. And apparently there are also hints that they were frequency tagged and may have all been beamed up to the ships so that no disturbance would be seen, as 10,000 indicted ones were taken into custody. Now, Mark mentions conventionally that would have required several times that number of arresting officers. And he says, we understand that the Provost, Marshal General and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, military, were involved. And he's saying, when we have our announcement, the facts will be revealed on how this was accomplished. Now, the contact mother suggested that all of the evidence about 9/11 as an inside job is probably coming forward midway through the Democratic Convention. And Mother suggested that this could happen as the cameras are sending sound and pictures to all the world. And she said all of Congress may be called to be present and the presentation may preempt all routine political activities. So it's very interesting. One has to say you do get predictions like this that often never come to anything. But we seem to be in a very energetic period at the moment. And I think the next 3 months are going to be very critical as far as the future. And it wouldn't be at all surprising if there were some major happenings, such as the two we mentioned here. And, of course, the Democratic Convention will be the first. So that makes it actually more interesting to find out what happens at it and whether, in the meantime, we get some information about these alleged 10,000 arrests. So there's plenty on the boil at the moment, and I think it's coming over very strongly in so many messages now. I get people that send them to me because of the ones I send out, so I probably, in my own way, get to see more than most people, or certainly as many as most people, and there's definite emphasis now on the changes. I get messages occasionally in a sort of nice way, criticising the fact that they always seem to say things are going to happen very soon. But I make the point that, for one, very soon is soon compared to the years we've been waiting for something like this to happen. I mean, what is a few more weeks, a few more months after all this time? But I know it can be frustrating. But there is a second point here, that the Galactic Federation would not want to give out key dates for something that is important to bringing about the changes and the start of the whole series of steps that are going to take us towards first contact. They know that the Dark Forces try to find out in advance what the Galactic Federation are doing, and of course their allies upon the Earth who are very much involved in bringing these changes about. So they, to a certain extent, have to keep quiet about actual dates and methods they're using. A bit frustrating in a way not to know more, but if you look at the messages, I think you can read between the lines and maybe you even get a feel of the energy that goes with them. And you know it's bristling with energy. And what they're talking about is so near, you almost expect things to happen almost week on week. But I think this is the fact at the moment, and it perhaps is proven by these type of messages that are now coming out. I think one of mine mentioned July as being an important month, but it didn't necessarily mean that it would be the conclusion of all these things and that the first changes would happen, because they still revolve around the removal of the US government, that's Bush and company, and when that happens, all the members of Congress will have to resign, and in their place there will be, if it's still the plan, a president-elect and a vice-president-elect. My own personal feeling is that the president-elect will be Denis Kucinich. He stands out, I think, head and shoulders above any other member as the right man with a very high spiritual input. So there are certain things that have got to happen before everything can get underway. And, of course, one of the immediate things which people are looking forward to is the distribution of the funds, which some while back used to go under the name of Nasara. There we are. That's all the comments I want to make at the moment. I'm coming to the end of the program, so I will tell you that my guest for the next week, he said, rushing around looking for his file, is going to be Christina, and I'm just looking to see what her claim to fame is. Yeah, she channels someone called Sophia. So I'm looking forward to that interview, and I hope you can be with me. We'll learn a bit more about it when I send out my email in a couple of days and confirm that everything is in place and that she's coming on the program. So thank you very much for being with me. I don't think you'll be too disappointed that we didn't get Ali for the full program, because as it worked out, maybe this is what our friends upstairs wanted me to do. So thank you very much. God bless you all.